This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes,
is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait. Let's get
this is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott, and he's already juicing.
1-800.
He is now already juicing.
3776.
I mean, you got to see this.
Latte.
He's just starting it now.
On the tweet, because they need to get in line early today. On
the tweet,
catches. Yeah, you know what? I got a little CMOS mixed up in this thing, too. One thing that people don't know about the CMOS is for your yin yang twins.
Phrasing?
Full of zinc. All the 102
minerals. If it's longer than 4 hours,
I understand that a lot of people out there, you know, I did a read for Blue Chew. I know what everything that has
chew
in
and
it.
Do it.
But CMOS
chew it
is natural.
And do it.
Sea moss is the natural chew it and
where
do
we
it.
Going?
You can
you
do it and
I
do it
know.
And do it and then chew it later. But anyway, if you can't get us on the hotline, catch us on the tweet at Barton High. And if you can't get us on there, you can DM Allen exclusively your back tat, your low back tat,
dimples
and a picture
only.
Of your navel, men and women included.
Well,
he's a married man, ladies and men. Because you have to say that.
Yeah,
equal opportunity. Equal opportunity. You can catch on the Grizzam. And if not, my main man Bill, who ain't going to have much to do because you don't have to put much time into your
although
team.
He's waiting
because you
Monday.
Ain't going nowhere. So, Bill, tell them where the hell they can get us at.
Snapface, Instant Chat, or whatever it is.
Yeah, so he's got the Frappuccino action. I've got a little matcha, and we are ready to go. Because you know what we're going to do today? We got Debbie Woody at noon, birthday boy this week. We do a Blitzen pre-event, audio files, all that stuff. But you know what else we got today? It's Wednesday. It's Thursday.
Throwback Thursday.
I'm just feeling so good because, man, we had some action last night and we went 2-0. What I tell you about that kid?
They almost.
What I tell you about that kid from Buffalo, man?
They almost
that kid
messed
can burn.
They almost messed it up.
No, stop it. We
no,
had
I'm
it
talking
away.
No, the late fumble.
I know.
I was like, what the hell is going on?
Blew the cover, baby. But still, we made some money off the Mac last night. It's definitely time for some action, so we're feeling good. But today's a good day, Bart. You know what today's a good day for as we begin week 9 of the NFL? Today's a good day for a buffet.
Yeah.
800-919-3776. We're going to let you be part of the conversation. We're just going to have you guys be in this conversation. Talk about everything you want to talk about. Questions you have about the world of sports. What do you want to ask Bart Scott? What do you want to ask Mr. Can't Wait about the NFL, about the Jets, about his athletic career, his athletic prowess?
Ooh.
Sea moss. What it does to a man. What do you want to know about that? What do you want to know about the NBA? What do you want to know about the Yankees? Your Yankees in a big offseason. How about the Mets and all the stuff that they got to do, including, by the way, Brody Van Wagenen still has a job. I want to know why.
No, it's a TikTok.
Like, it's time to start cleaning
TikTok.
It up. Let's
TikTok.
Go.
TikTok. You know, you
he's feeling that, right? He's feeling that.
Yeah, he know what time it is. Sandy's like, yeah, Mr. Postman.
Oh, he's walking in like,
yeah.
He's walking in with that, like, well, who is that? With the hand, like, he's like, moving his hands, just walking in like, want to get out of that desk real quick.
Exactly.
But, so it's all kinds of stuff we can get into. Islanders, Rangers, like we told you. Today is, Bart's already taken off the sweater. Sweatshirt is off.
Yeah,
crispy
hot.
White tea.
It's hot as fish grease.
Crap, it is warm. It's a beautiful day today.
It is. See, dude, all you have to do is get out of October. October is like the April and like early May of the fall. It's all rainy and wet and windy. Mm. And we know when it gets to November, it turns. Our weather pattern has been like 60 and sunny. No humidity in the air. Beautiful. November's always been beautiful for like the last 5 years.
Beautiful. You get a harvest moon at night, too. It's bright, beautiful, crispy night. You know what? Michael Kay says this, and I'm with him, because he and I feel the same way about this, to me, best time of year.
Yes.
I can't stand the heat. I hate it when it's humid. I like heat. I don't like humidity.
You got the nice hoodie on. You got a nice little light jacket on.
Feeling it, baby.
Feeling little brisk,
it, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can layer up a little bit, girl. Start pulling out the scarves a little bit. You get the knit dresses, all that good stuff for all the fellas
tight
out
sweater,
there.
Water.
New York's on, yeah, New York's on fire, you know what I'm saying?
Let's hope it's not. So let's hope it's not. We might get some, you know, election-wise, we might get some news today around 12. So if we we get anything, we'll give it to you. We'll keep an eye on things, including
the
politics.
Because we don't want them to turn the states for nothing. You can get whatever going on in the world.
We'll keep you updated.
Right here.
Yeah, we'll hear from Georgia. We'll hear from Nevada, I believe, today. And once we do, we will get it to you. So you keep it right here with us. Like I said, be part of the conversation. Lots to discuss, of course, in the world of sports. Again, we begin a week 9 with Green Bay and the Niners tonight, Thursday Night Football.
It's going to be
COVID
players.
Stuff all over the league again, but they continue to just keep playing, and that's a good thing. Now, what I've been telling you about the NBA, Bart, I've been telling you that they're getting closer. There will be a vote. It will be at some point today, tonight, or tomorrow. But I'm telling you that what I keep hearing from players, what obviously keeps being reported as well, is the lean is that there's just too much money at stake to wait. And they're going to have to. They just know. Not everybody's happy about it, but they understand the finances in the business that we will have NBA basketball before Christmas. We will have training camp, in fact, once we turn the calendar to December. That's pretty quick. We just had a finals in mid-October. And you're going to have a new season begin basically a month and a half later. That's where we are right now. That's the reality. It'll be a 72-game season, and you will have it. The draft is on the 18th. That is in less than 2 weeks now. And then right after that, you go from the draft to what's going to be a shotgun wedding free agency. That's reality. That's just how this is going to have to go down. And so, Bart, as we wait, and Woj and Zach Lowe were reporting this yesterday, it's on ESPN.com, as the NBA, as the union has been holding these conference calls with the players, discussing with them, which also includes, and I know you hate this as a former player, the idea of a salary escrow for 18% in the next 2 years. It's going to cost players like LeBron $7 million.
Ooh.
That's just reality. The high-end guys take the biggest hit, of course. But that's just the reality of the finances of not playing a full season and also not having fans in the building. But it would get much worse if you didn't play or waited waited till you could have fans in the building. That's just not reality. So they got to get back, and they're going to do that. Revenue, by the way, in the league dropped 10%.
Yeah.
All because of the pandemic. And I told you already about how many teams and what they lost. The Lakers lost $50 million. The Knicks lost $45 million, just not finishing the season.
Yeah.
That's what's going to go down. So what a lot of people ask me is, okay, how does this affect the Knicks? And, you know, you and I have talked a lot about, look, we know the Nets are set up.
Yeah.
The Nets are set up. They've got their guys. Kyrie and Katie have been playing together in L.A. all summer, all offseason. Their chemistry, they're working on that on their own. When they're training together, they've been working out together. Players have gotten together. They've spent enough time. They've got a coaching staff now. They added D'Antoni. So now you know what their offense is going to look like. Right? They add Udoka. They're going to have a guy who can run their defense as well. And then you have Steve Nash, who's there, basically has somebody that is the friend of the players. He's the guy, the good cop. He's going to be the one that, you know, understands how to handle egos and work guys together. Amari Stoudemire is there. It's all 7 seconds or less. But you have got in Brooklyn a team that is going to be ready to go. And that's going to be exciting to see what they can be. And if they are going to make another move for a player, what kind of a star player could they add to that team if they tried? I'm not sure they're going to be able to do it immediately, but we'll see. That's a team you got to watch, because just as they are, they're going to be a top four team, in my opinion, top four team in the East going into a season like this. So they're set. But the other team in New York, obviously, is still at the very beginning stages of another rebuild. And I know we've talked about Chris Paul. We've talked about Russell Westbrook, Devin Booker. Like, what can they do? I want everybody to understand that while I bring that stuff up, boy, we all know this. Those are dream scenarios.
Yeah,
those are hypotheticals. Those are what ifs. Those are could it happen? And I'm telling you, I don't see that we're going to see something like that. If you have, because it's going to be such a short off season, and then they're going to jump right into a training camp with a new head coach, that I don't see it being something that the Knicks are going to just be able to start tearing up a roster and making these dramatic moves, and like in a blink of an eye, it's a brand new team. And Woj was on with our good friend Ian Begley on his SNY digital show called The Putback. And Woj said the same thing. Now, Woj is somebody you always listen to because he is the most plugged-in person in the NBA. Right, we understand that. But the other reason why you listen to Woj even carefully if you're a Knicks fan is because Woj also has a long-standing relationship with Leon Rose, World Wide West. He has known them and covered them forever when they were on the other side as agents. So you know that Woj really has got, whatever he says, you take it to heart. You know this is some pretty, like, this is as close to the source as you could possibly get. So listen to when Woj is talking about the Knicks and the idea of trying to flip this thing quickly and whether or not this could be a quick fix for this team.
I know people talk about big trades and bringing in star players. I don't see guys them having the assets to do big trades for big players. And typically those players, if they're coming and if they want to come to New York, they want to come to win. They don't want a team like the Knicks to have to gas every last asset they have so they're standing in the garden all by themselves. There's a lot of work to be done.
Now, you may not like that. You may not like what he said there. But that's reality, everybody. There's not enough time. And more importantly, you heard what he said. There's not enough value in their young players. So I think you're going to have a season where they're coaching these guys up and waiting to make a move. Yeah, I told you, it's a short off season. It's a short season. Maybe trade deadlines when you, again, you could be aggressive. That might not be until March, everybody. What lies ahead is basically more patience. You hate it. I know I hate it too. But that's reality. Like, I'm going to be like you, Bart, in a couple of weeks. Where you are on Sundays after games, where you're just staring at the camera going, F. Like, where you don't even know what to say, where you're trying to, like, what'd you say, you have loser's fatigue? That's coming. So I'm just telling Knicks fans that here everywhere that understand that there's going to be a volatile financial climate coming in the NBA. We're already seeing it. And that's why you got, and what was just said there is very interesting. You got to be ready for it. 2021 offseason is going to have opportunity. You've got to coach up the assets you have. You got a whole bunch. You got a whole bunch of these lottery picks on your roster, and no one sees value in any of them. So guess what you got to do? You got to make them look like they have value so that when there is a move to be made, when there is a star player to get, you can get in the game.
But what I'm saying as well, though, for this staff to be together for so long, and you know what I'm saying, so long, the fact that they didn't have a team in the playoffs, that I would expect that Thibodeau and the rest of the managers, all these great guys they brought over, the guy from Utah, the guy from Kentucky, everybody, World Wide West, Leon Rose, he's a former agent. Don't tell me he's not still piped in to the desires and wishes of certain players, especially some that used to be his clients. Yep. So he should be piped in enough to say, hey, if it's a quick move to be made, what is it? Because what happens is, if you move swiftly and quickly, as soon as this thing opens up and as soon as this agreement and you know what the deadline is, you can be able to steal somebody very quickly. But you got to move fast. But what I'm saying is, they shouldn't be caught on the back of their heels. Are you kidding me? These guys should have been talking contingency plans as soon as he signed on the dotted line. As soon as World Wide West was there, he should have been looking ahead and trying to work the back pages and work everybody else and say, who's available? Because what happens is, in the beauty of the Knicks, no matter what you think about the Knicks, one thing we know they're not deficient in is smoney. They got smoney. Mets got smoney. And this is not a cap sport. Your owner has the money to pay the luxury tax, to do whatever he has to do to be able to get a player that could be a building block for the future. So, yeah, of course you want to wait to 2021 so that you can have an opportunity to pounce when somebody's at the trade deadline to take up bad contracts and try and get those guys in the building so you can convince them to say, hey, listen, we're building something here. I know it looks dysfunctional from the outside, but this is different. Let's get you in here on this trial run from March on out. And let me show you what our vision is, and let me put you around our staff and let you see that this is a professionally ran organization now and that we have all the brightest and smart people that knows how to build championships underneath this roof. This ain't what, listen.
What you ahead. Just said. Well, what you just said there about, you got to show that it's a functioning franchise.
Yes,
I think that's important.
But you said,
like, I know that sounds so elementary, but you know what? I the Knicks and Jets, you and I, this is why we're brothers. Because the Knicks and Jets are pretty much in the same place, aren't they?
Yes.
We think Joe Douglas is the adult in charge that they haven't had in a long time.
Yep.
I want to see, and I from the moves he's made to build up the staff, I still have to see what roster moves he makes. But Leon Rose looks like a guy who's an adult in the room.
Right.
Who isn't out, you know, he's not doing things because he wants headlines and he wants to look like a genius. He's literally like, this is what I've learned. Let me put this to practice now. Yeah. That's what Leon seems to be like with me right now. He did it with his head coaching hire. So I feel like both franchises are almost in the same exact place. Is RJ Barrett, Sam Darnold, like, we don't really know what are they going to be, but they were high picks, both number three. Like, is there a parallel there? You have a Becton, you have a Mitchell Robinson, two very young players that kind of kind of like fell in your lap as, wow, these guys could be the best of their position in right. the future. Like, there's so many parallels between the two, and a lot of frustration, obviously, with the history of the franchise, with constant turnover.
Yeah.
But patience is the one word that if you say it to a Jet fan and you say it to a Knick fan, it is a curse word. I don't want to hear patience. The right. Mets have an owner now that might turn the tide quickly, and you don't have to have patience in baseball. There's no salary cap. But in the NFL and in the NBA, there is. And then that is going to be a tough thing to go through this year. If you're going to be the Orioles. Just be ready, because if you're going to play a regional schedule in the Atlantic Division, you're going to be the Orioles to the American League East this year. That's not going to be easy to endure.
Or could you be the Marlins? Could you be the Marlins, though? Right? Because they didn't add much to that roster. And look what they did. It took themselves all the way to the playoffs because they had an adult in the room.
They had young players, too.
And they played hard. Right? They had a plan. They knew a style. They knew how they had to win. And they implemented the game plan. They were held accountable. And they played hard as hell every single night. They called it small ball in baseball. They did what they had to do. And could Thibodeau be that guy? You know, I mean, you talk about, you know, Drew Holiday is still intriguing. Drew Holiday is intriguing not only to me for the Knicks, but also for the Nets. Because he's a guy that can come in that can score, shoot 35% behind three, but he's a lockdown defender. You know, Kyrie's a liability sometimes. KD plays.
So you put him next to Kyrie, huh?
Yes. And I want to see what he got. I mean, you may not be able to get Bradley Beal, right? But we know for a fact that Drew Holiday is available, right? We don't think that Beal is available. So if you go get that, that's not a crazy contract.
Is Holiday better than Dinwiddie?
I would say yes. He's an all-star.
I think it's a fair question. You know, it's just worth asking that question. Can Holiday be more of a complimentary piece than Dinwiddie? Because Dinwiddie really thrived as the main guy. For Dinwiddie, yeah, it's going to be, yeah. Can you be a supporting – like, can you get used to the fact that Kyrie is going to look you off more often than not?
Exactly. And be cool with that, right?
Yeah, and be cool.
Drew Holiday's different. Drew Holiday is comfortable in his skin and who he is because he's had success in his league. Dinwiddie's trying to make a name for himself, so he has to become – he's like, I'm not trying to shrink. Like, why would I want to shrink when I'm trying to get paid? Meanwhile, Drew Holiday's been a guy that's been to an all-star game. He's a guy that's been rewarded a handsome contract. He's comfortable in his skin. He understands he's leaving New Orleans to come here for an opportunity to win this year and potentially be the best team in the East and not have to go through that monster in the West. Dinwiddie's a guy that probably needs to go somewhere and maybe go to the Pelicans so that he can get his shots up. Because, you know, Zion's not going to be there for the entire season, so he's going to have opportunities where he's going to be asked to carry the team. He's going to be able to handle the ball, put the ball in his hand. It's no way in hell when Kyrie and KD's playing that the ball's going to go through him unless he's coming off the bench.
No, if you've ever seen that offense, the D'Antoni offense, you understand that it's basically it's two guys and three guys watching.
Yeah, your turn, my turn.
You're supposed to just spread. Like, you're just supposed to, you know, move, cut, move. But really, you're watching two guys play. That's generally how that offense works. And it works brilliantly if there's good spacing and you have players who buy into
it. And Allen has to be McGee. He has to be the little pogo stick, just running the court hard.
He needs to be Amari with Steve Nash.
Well, we know he ain't got no skills like that. Come on now. He ain't Amari.
He's athletic.
That's why I said he can be McGee. Run down, pogo stick, grab the rebound, get the alley hoops, play good defense, you know, make sure you do
all juiced up. Could he be Clint Capela? Could he be Clint Capela for Horton, had going there for a while?
But I think Clint Capela was even a better, more gifted offensive player. That's all I'm saying. You know, Dinwiddie to me is McGee. Right? You know, McGee, like, surprised you. Like, everything you get from McGee is all effort and energy. You know what I mean? It ain't no skill to it. Ain't no 18-foot jumper. You know what I mean? And, it, you know, could you imagine how KD going? I wish. New drop alert. New drop alert.
Okay.
I definitely need the Patrick Ewing. Like, have you ever shot that shot?
We have it on the page.
Have you ever shot that shot? Because that's how Kevin
you think
Durant.
KD's going to say that a lot this year.
That's how KD and Kyrie go look at Allen if he pull up and shoot a J. Like, hold up.
How many different names have they called Joe Harris by now? Have they called him John?
Yeah,
Jack,
John, Jack,
Jay,
yeah,
Harry. Like, what's this guy? Who's this guy?
They probably called him Harry. Or call him Billy. They call him Billy. That's what
Billy,
they call him.
I don't know. What is this
Billy
guy's
Ho.
Name?
Billy Ho.
Billy. But look, still, that like a 72-game season is going to be real interesting on a lot of levels in the league because you're going to see – if I'm the league, I look away. I know we hate load management. I look away.
Yeah, whatever.
You know, like, LeBron, I just need you on the national games. I need you on Christmas. I need you on MLK. But if you got a game in Sacramento and you're like, you know, there's no fans in the building and you're like, yo, I need to buy a couple of days, take that game. It's okay. We're not gonna bust chops about that. Yeah. And again, the Nets have that same situation. KD is not going to jump in and just play every single game. He's got to ease his way back. And if I'm the league, you look away. Just go, all right, you know, I just want you in the big games. I need you on the national games.
Listen, you don't have to ask LeBron that. Because guess what? LeBron is a thirst bucket. Right, he's one of the most insecure great players I've ever. He's one of the greatest thirsty people I've ever seen in my life. He's one of the most narcissistic. Like I have to be the show. It's got to be about me. So you know, if it comes a big team coming in, you know he gonna play because he wants you to talk about him, not about how great the other great players are. Because guess what? As great as LeBron is, I'm not excited to see LeBron this year. I'll watch, but I'm not excited about that. You know who I'm ready to see? Oh, I'm so ready to see these Golden State Warriors because I love to see a champion that was disrespected. I am so ready to see a team that was disrespected and people were just, oh, look at how you look. Ha, 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 ha. Draymond is a habitual line stepper.
You're waiting for that Steph Curry shimmy. Like, you're waiting for that, right?
Listen, all of a sudden. Yeah, all of a sudden, Draymond's hitting threes again. Oh, he going to tell you about it. He might come back with the LeBron push the roof down. It's going to be – listen, the Golden State Warriors is going to be the most habitual line steppers in the history of basketball.
And they should be. Would you blame them if they just acted up for the first, let's say, 20 games of the season?
Yep.
Where they went out and up 30, they're still jacking threes, still going. They're going logo threes up 30.
Yeah.
Like looking at the camera, posing, remember Wash King?
Yeah.
Wash Champions?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He was like, go ahead and take a seat, LeBron. The big boys are back. You can take your big two. I'm coming with my big four. What up? What you got, son? What you got? Rondo barbecue chicken. Come on out here, Rondo. Come on out here. Pick me up. Pick me up. Oh, you pick me up at the 3-point line? Guess what? Logo 3 in your face. Your mama.
800-919-3776. So we'll get the calls rolling. I like the response we're getting to the Twitter questions. Basically, what are you hoping for? What do you want to see from the Knicks in the offseason?
Playoffs. I want to see playoffs.
Hey, look, if they do the 7-10 play-in.
That's what I'm saying. I want playoffs.
10th seed. You can't be good enough to be a 10th seed in the East. You cannot be. Come on now. Look at the East. It's top heavy. You got 8 solid. You might have 9 solid, but you can't get to 10 and just have a play-in game? Can you get me a play-in game?
But you told me that the best value probably in this draft is at 8 because you don't have to reach. So you can get a potential star at 8 and you can reach at 1 or 2 because you never know if you got the best one. That's why Golden State's trying to get out. That's why Minnesota's trying to get out.
They don't want that number 1 pick.
Yeah, that's why they're trying to get out, right? So if you're the Knicks, maybe – I ain't even playing that number 1.
It's not happening. They don't have the assets to move up, and to move up in this draft is silly. There's not a player there's no Luka. Right? In this draft. There's no one that's going to change your fortunes overnight. You don't give up assets now. This is not the time. I told everybody at the beginning of this, mark my words. I'm saying it now, remember it. This is not the time, but offseason in 2021, there's going to be a lot of financial business decisions being made by some of these teams. There's going to be a shift in the NBA. Mark my words, I've been told this. There is going to be a shift in the league, and guess what? They're going back to the big markets. They have to. They know they have to, and it's going to happen, basically because some of these teams are not going to be able to afford the triple tax, all of these repeater tax, all these penalties. Some of these teams can't afford it. And you know the team? The richest team in the league that hasn't paid tax in a long time? That'd be the Knicks. And guess what? They're willing to do it. Fernando and Elizabeth.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
What up, Fernando? What up?
Hey, big fan of you guys. Love what you guys do. I just want to get it out there. I just want the Knicks new staff, honestly, to focus on building a culture of just playing hard and with toughness, like just getting after, get some dogs up in here. I'm tired of other stars coming in here and just, they're smiling like it's a cakewalk. Like I want them to fear the Garden, win New York. Like if Westbrook becomes available, I know it's a long shot, But I would get him so we can start developing a culture. Like, because I know he's going to get after every play. And that's what we need. We need to teach those young guys, stop being soft, man. Just get some
but, tell me this. You want Westbrook, right? So now you got, once again, are you going to get mad when he go all John Starks on you, shoot 1 for 40?
Honestly, no, because it's only 2 years. And what you can do is just have somebody that's going to give it 110%. So guys can learn from him. Like Knox, he needs a little bit more toughness. He needs to see somebody like play like that. And I know Westbrook will teach these guys and get them in position to at least compete more. And that's what I want.
You know what Knox needs? Knox needs his Rick Mahorn. He's Bill Laimbeer. He needs his Rick Mahorn, some OG, to take him under the wing, smack him around, toughen him up, teach him how to be a professional. Tell him to stop acting like a baby. Like, it's all good. This is his third year now, bro. Like, it's time for you to step up, and this is what you got to do. You need somebody to bully him. Like, I know, like, a lot of times in sports you say bullying, but you need somebody to be, like, to bully him, to agitate him.
He needs a big brother.
A light of fire on him, kick him in the butt, because we don't know what we got. But we need to figure out what we got, and if we ain't got nothing, we need to make sure that he looks like he's something. You know what I mean? We got to take him to the wizard and get him some heart.
The problem with Knox is that he's got, like, all this physical ability. Like, he has physical talent
that's what frustrates you.
The neck up is the part that you just, you know, will he ever get it, I think, is the problem. Some of the Twitter responses to this question are interesting, though. Silky Johnson said, don't give up any assets for CP3. If OKC wants to dump him, they should be giving us one or two of their 21st rounders. Give up any assets for a one-year rental would be the most Knicks thing ever. Mike said he wants something resembling a competitive basketball team. Robert said he wants competence. How about this Twitter handle? @effingdivorced. He said he wants a proper rebuild. No more trading for past their prime stars.
Right. But
again, Andrew, he wants structure and a plan. Like that, you know, Donald, I want a watchable team. Yeah. Offer a sense of stability and direction. These are these responses, Bart, are amazing. Like, normally people are like, oh, I want you to get a point guard, get this guy, do this, play this way. No. They're all like, can you just look like a good team? Can you just resemble a team that actually can function?
Exactly.
Like, fans are almost at the point now where they're just asking, can you just breathe in and breathe out and walk and chew gum at the same time? Can you just do that for us? That'd be nice.
Moves of remorse. But that's what
amazing.
I'm saying. And listen, you look at Dolan. Dolan's been stealing, right, for years. When I say stealing, I'm saying that he's always at the top as far as the most profitable organization, and he doesn't deserve the fan support that he gets, right? Because if any other market, any other place had the product in which they were putting out with the losing, they wouldn't have the fan support. So that's a blessing. So he shouldn't care about spending luxury tax, but this isn't the year in which you pounce. This ain't the year when you go crazy. This ain't the year where you go all Tropic Thunder. You know what I'm saying? This is the year in which you set yourself up to be able to pounce the following year. The first thing is show that you're able to, or you have to show that you're stable first, right? So this is the stability. He got it in the management department. He got it upstairs. He got an adult head coach. Now you just got to get a couple players. That's why I like the Drew Holiday stuff, because he's a professional. And he'll come here. He's been with Randall. And listen, this is a contract that you can get out of and you can move. And then you can be – but it also sets you up for position, because it's just weird. If somebody sees you in the playoffs, all of a sudden they think that you're a team on the ascent. Right,
and then Brooklyn was a couple of years ago, which is why KD and Kyrie saw them as
right.
They want to go.
So be scrappy, right? And then with that eighth pick, get you the best player available, you know, at that position, right? So eighth, Drew Holiday, Randall, Mitchell, and just having guys play hard should be enough to get you in the playoffs, because it's going to be an extended pool.
All right, let's take Jersey in the car.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on?
What's up? I have a doozy of a question. So the Dolphins have Tua, and they've been playing out of their mind. Also, the definition of a team that really needed a preseason, because they really caught their stride. But I think it's come out, and I know that Brian Flores may have denied it, but what do you guys think about the scenario where the rest of this season, Tua is basically on a tryout, and if he doesn't pan out with the Texans' first round pick that the Dolphins have, they pick up probably Fields, or I mean, hopefully Lawrence. But
no,
what do you guys think about that? I know
that'd
a lot
be
of people have been talking about it.
That'd be crazy, because Tua, if he wouldn't have got hurt in Alabama, would have been the first overall pick. like that he's that type of talent, and like him being on a audition. Come on, man, that sounds silly. Like, the Dolphins are in year two of their process. They don't want to start over. They went all in with Van Noy and all those guys. You know, you think about Xavier Howard. You think about going out and getting Byron Jones.
You got a top-five pick that you could get another piece that can
Exactly. They need to build this. They need to solidify this. Yeah, they need to solidify this offensive
line. Don't you think they have the quarterback? I mean, you said, before his injury, he was the bona fide. Like, this kid's – he's number one. Like, he's all that in a bag of chips. Like, this guy, everybody was raving about him. That obviously, that championship game performance where he came in the second half for Jalen Hurts, he was tremendous. He can make the throws, physical, all that stuff. But the injury is what scares you.
Yeah, but more scares you. See, but that's the NFL right now, right? You're only trying to get 5-year clips out of these guys. Now the model is starting to change.
A lot
of
people.
Yo, I'm telling you,
I think you want to get a little more. If you have a franchise quarterback, you're hoping to get 10.
I've heard reports that and I know one of the first people that were considering it was Seattle. They're starting to think in some circles. The belief is that you just keep getting new quarterbacks every 5 years. That way, you can always put great teams around them all the time because you have rentals. It's like having Patrick Mahomes like every 2 years or every 5 years. You're getting Patrick Mahomes all over again, but then you can go out and you can buy all these other pieces because you're not paying him a lot of money.
Deal.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You so just think, you get the Lamar Jacksons, the Josh Rosens, or the Haskins. Like, you're going to see people start, like, maybe quarterbacks not being with teams for 15 years anymore. Guys started when they get to that mark because they may not want to put $45 million. Look where the quarterback mark is going. If you are forced to pay one of these guys $45 million and you're wrong on him just because he's the next guy up, you know, just imagine like with Dak, or that guy gets hurt and you're stuck with that $45 million contract. That cripples your organization. So the belief is always go out and start, you know, getting first round draft picks. We see that in Green Bay. They didn't need to get a new quarterback, but they got one. Does it look like Aaron Rodgers ain't gonna be able to play for the next 5 years? But they got a quarterback, right? You look at what they did with Carson Wentz. He was an MVP candidate. They went and got his replacement just in case, because so you're starting to see, without seeing, that people are starting to draft guys all the time to make sure that they got a young quarterback.
That you have an alternative. Yeah, you have that alternative in case whatever your commodity is, all of a sudden the shine comes off that commodity, where all of a sudden the value starts diminishing. You're like, well,
yes,
we've got to have a backup plan. Okay, our backup plan is we've got this young kid and he's been developing all along. Behind them.
Pay attention to what's going on. Because the same thing. Jameis Winston.
Let me ask you a question. So yesterday on the group chat, I put up, we'll keep an eye on, believe it or not, I think it's around noon we should get, they're supposed to be releasing Nevada, Georgia, the results there, and that obviously will have major impact. Listen, so if we hear something, we will let you know.
Before we get to that, how would you like to have Nevada's job? These dudes just took the whole day off. These dudes stopped counting at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, we're all set.
Like, bro, you need a breather? You
what
good?
Happened? I got a spot
to
at the
all
table.
The sunlight.
I this got a spot at the table I got to get to.
Yeah, this is supposed to be your Super Bowl, your time to shine. You say, you know what, we're going to take a stint at halftime. You know, rain delay. Like, what the hell is that? Did they stop at 10 o'clock our time? They stopped at 1 o'clock our time, 10 o'clock their time. Who comes into work? Even when my kids have a half a day, they stay longer than damn 10 o'clock.
Well, Georgia was really putting in a lot of time. They just you got to a point where you're getting fatigued. So we should have some numbers today around noon. We will give it to you. You don't have to go anywhere else. We will keep an eye on it. We will give it to you as these are some key numbers now that could have a major impact. So we'll keep you posted. But it's something interesting. So I saw this on social media and I was looking at these numbers and I just have a question. So election results, right, for viewership on election night.
Yeah.
So the average was about 57 million viewers across 21 networks. So it's not one network, obviously. It's not one show, but that's how many people were watching 21 networks that basically were giving you full coverage of the election.
Yeah.
And that actually is a drop from the last and a major drop from the previous two elections.
Really?
In 08, almost 72 million people watched. In 12, now 08 was obviously a very significant one. Obama's first time around, and that was historical. 12 was 66.8. All right, this one, and 16, by the way, was 71.4. This one is 57 million election night. Now, you could say, well, because we were told there wouldn't be results, we wouldn't know. But wouldn't you would say that this was one was such a volatile election that you were going to watch because you'd think you'd be tuned in. Now, put that up against 2020 viewership. And I'm telling you, this is why when people say no one's watching sports, right? Like all these leagues are suffering, their viewership is down because of the whatever reasons you want to come up with. I'm here to tell you, things are changing by the way people consume their information. And I don't think people watch television the way they used to. Not and Nielsen all. Might have to change the way they're viewing things. And I want to know from people, 800-919-3776, do you consume your news and sports differently than maybe your parents did? Do you watch things differently? Are you turn on your cable box, sit in your couch, watch TV for the entire night after dinner? Or do you consume it a different way? Now, what do you think in 2020 the number one most watched, most viewed television program was?
Last Dance.
No, there's not even a TV show in the top 20.
Oh, yeah, TV show, yeah. But you want to know why? Because everybody binge watches. Everybody
that's
watches
right.
on Netflix.
That's
everybody
exactly
binge watches. So
right.
that's what it
so,
is. That's how we do
so
it. I'm watching Mandalorian. I'm going to watch it all in one night.
There you go.
I can't wait.
The number one watched program in 2020 was the Super
James.
Bowl. The Super Bowl. 100 million people watched the Super Bowl, all right? Kansas City, San Francisco, on not Fox. Bad. Now, after that, the next three, or next four, the first presidential debate, the second presidential debate, then the vice presidential debate, then election night. That's your top five, Super Bowl and then politics. Then what comes after that? NFC Championship, AFC Championship, State of the Union, NFC Divisional, AFC Divisional. That's your top 10. All right, after that, it's all football playoffs from 10 through 17, 18 college football championship, 19 Democratic National Convention night 4, 20 masked singer.
Right.
So you're telling this is our country. Our viewership is football and politics.
Yes.
That's it. We watch football and we watch politics.
You wanna know
that's
why?
It.
Because those are two things that are live, right? You have to see it. You have to see the election live. You can't get clips. Most people, and they have to figure out how many of these programs are being streamed. This is something when I first got into television that CBS was telling me, this is what's coming. This is the wave, right? It's going to be streaming. And I didn't pay attention to it. But that's the wave, right? So they don't know how to count that, right? Because it's no meter for that. So
they're
going really,
to have to figure it out.
But I'm
curious.
Because you got to sell advertising, what you have to do, the same things, same commercials that you sell on TV has to be on streaming because you have to be able to sell it.
Well, they do. Bar. When you binge watch something, commercials do pop in and you have to sit through a commercial. But the difference is, again, how it's rated. But we're doing this is antiquated. But what I'm saying is, I think what we just learned is it maybe does it debunk the idea that no one watches sports.
Exactly.
That, no one wants to watch the NBA. No one wants to watch baseball. No one's watching football. No, maybe they're just watching it different. Because if you weren't, I mean, how many people have been so passionate about this year's election and you're seeing it, but the numbers are still down? That means we're consuming it different. I was just curious about how people who are listening right now consume us and consume their sports and politics on TV or whatever other device. It's interesting, though, the TV viewership thing, and we get a couple of responses, as we usually do. And you know, Steven saying that, you know, people watch digitally for sure, that he did, doesn't watch TV as much when he has his iPad, and he watched the election results with his iPad. John said also live sports always when it happens. Everything else gets DVR'd at our house and watched at a later time. And I think that's why you just don't see shows in the top 20 viewership anymore. But it's amazing that it's no other. It's football and politics.
Yep.
That's it. Now, nothing else is watched with the same amount of intensity. When you're talking about, I mean, when you look at the numbers, the amount of people that are watching, too, it's the other thing to talk about. 100 million people watch the Super Bowl, right?
That's a third of our population.
The debates were between 58 and 73 million people watched each debate, including the vice presidential debate. Election night was 57 million people. You know, the least viewed NFL game in the top 17 was week one national window on Fox, 25.8 million. I mean, that's it. You know, like you're. I mean, that's a lot of people watching these events. The Masked Singer was the only show that, in the Academy Awards, which is a live event. The Masked Singer was the one event.
Was that the Mark?
I'm on the top 25 here, and they were 20th.
Oh, okay, sorry, Mark.
Maybe Oladipo knows what he's doing going on that show. So anyway, I just, you know, again, I found it to be real fascinating. So we can continue that conversation, of course. But right now, we got some interesting stories on Blitz or Prevent.
This is Blitz or Prevent.
Here's a real good story. So Logan Ryan credited a team trainer with potentially saving the life of his wife after she underwent emergency surgery for a pregnancy when she was, it's ectopic pregnancy. I hope I'm saying that right.
Yeah,
this is when in Florida. Here's Logan Ryan telling the story.
I just want to talk about something I don't think people really much know about Joe and this organization. I know we talk about wins and losses. I don't want to take up too many people's time. But after the game, my wife flew down to Florida to go vote, a very important state for this vote. My wife actually flew down there to go vote and check on our house. We have a house in Florida. And she was having some stomach pains, and it was 1 a.m. And I was banged up after the game as well. And I was leaving the stadium at 1 a.m. And she was telling me about some pain she had in her stomach. And I told her, you know, she wanted to sleep it off, and she was in extreme pain, but she said she'll wait till the morning. I talked to one of our trainers about the symptoms. He said, no, she needs to go to the ER. My wife ended up going to the ER, and they ended up catching, I don't want to butcher the word, ectopic pregnancy, where the egg was in the wrong place in her fallopian tube and it was about to burst. So she ended up going to emergency surgery, is what I'm dealing with right now. And they ended up saving her and ended up preventing a lot of what could have been done. And I was a trainer on our team, Justin Mayer, and telling my wife to go to the ER at 1 a.m. could have saved her life or saved a lot of internal bleeding there. And that's the type of organization that we have here. And honestly, I wasn't going to talk about that. That's what, you know, and my kids are okay. My wife is recovering well. She's okay. This happened, you know, all yesterday. And Joe said, you know, if you need to fly to Florida, don't worry about football. And that's what Joe is as a man and as a coach. I know we care about X and O's and winning and losing, but there's really good people here. That's why I came here. There's really good trainers here. There's really a lot of people behind the scenes that are working really hard for us to get wins. And I'll do everything I can to play for a coach like that and play for an organization like this, because, you know, if that wasn't the case, I don't know if my wife would be here today. And honestly, I'm extremely grateful for this organization and for Joe and for everyone to understand, you know, things bigger than football, especially this year.
I mean, what a story. Now, for those who don't know what the ectopic pregnancy is, you can Google it. I don't want to tell the whole story here on the air because it's personal. But for his wife, Ashley, it was pretty dangerous. And what a story this is. And also what Logan says about the franchise. How important is that to the Giants? So, Blitzer Prevent, Bart. This season, we've heard about a team doctor puncturing the lung of Tyrod Taylor. Yeah. We've heard about Trent Brown of the Raiders being hospitalized after taking IV before Sunday's game and got some air in it. So this is, you know, so this was a story we needed. But what does it say? More importantly, what does it say about the Giants with Joe Judge and what they're trying to do with that organization?
Well, he's setting the proper culture. Now, I understand that, you know, Logan Ryan, you know, wants to put the light on what happened. I mean, because that's amazing that the fact that he, you know, kind of understood what it was and gave him the proper medical advice. But my experience has been that most training staffs are pretty well run. Every once in a while you get some guys that may not be healthy, but when it comes to things of health, family, most organizations and head coaches are pretty good at saying, listen, go take care of your family. But to me, it's a free advertisement for the type of environment and the type of love that Logan Ryan feels within this organization. And that, whether you believe it or not, it attracts other free agents to come here. It says that they're on the right path and the right track, because that allows them as well to be able to, you know, build trust. And no matter what, Logan Ryan feels like indebted to them. And it's going to make him a greater leader in the locker room, but it's also going to make him play a little harder for your coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very personal. That's important. All right, you'll love this story. So you know the Texans are 1-6. They've already fired their head coach and general manager. They don't have a first or second round draft pick coming up. And J.J. Watt says he has no interest in a rebuild. Take a look.
Obviously, I'm trying to do whatever I can to help us win games. I don't think it's any secret that I don't have 10 years left in this league. I personally believe that I do have a few more great ones left in me. But you also can't. I'm not looking to rebuild. I'm looking to I'm looking to go after a championship, and that's what I want to do. So whatever's in the best interest of the Houston Texans, that's in the best interest of myself.
Or the other way around. But before you destroy JJ, however, Deshaun Watson said, I agree with JJ. I don't want to sit here and change everything, but I do want to win a championship eventually. So blitz or prevent, the Texans really shouldn't rebuild, but with Watt facing the final year of his deal, should they use him as a way to retool?
They should, but it's too late. If he's entering the final year of his deal, they know that he's dead man walking. All his guarantees are gone for his contract. He's been walking around with that Larry Bird back for the last couple of years. You can't really count on him to be an arm man and be within your organization and play at a high level. Like I told you, I believe that his little brother's a better player to him now. He's been a great player in his league for a long time. He'll probably walk into the Hall of Fame. And realistically, the best thing he can do for this organization is to get released from his contract so they can get that $100 million off their books so that they can go out and build in free agency, because he can't get draft picks for him, but he can free up some money for him, and so they can go out and address that. And I think, you know, that also gives him the best opportunity to go and pick where he wants to go instead of being traded somewhere. It allows him to be a free agent. It allows him to be sought after. It allows him to be, you know, a finishing piece for a team or organization that thinks that they're right there. No different from Ndamukong Suh a couple years ago. No different from Jadeveon Clowney. You know, he's closer to the end of his career than he is at the beginning. Much like, you know, Jason Taylor came and tried to win a championship with us. Trevor Price did the same thing. And, you know, he should be gone. And I've been saying this for about, you know, 4 or 5 months. I said they should have tried to trade him if they could have, because he is healthy this year. But they dropped the ball because maybe they were afraid of what would happen if they traded the face of the franchise. Right now, the face of the franchise to me should be Deshaun Watson. He's the former face of the franchise. So he should bow out gracefully and ride off to the sunset like Shane, because they're not winning a championship there in the next couple of years.
It's amazing with these big contracts that you give to certain players and you just worry about the back end of them. And that right now for the Texans, that's something that can change things if they can move on from that. All right. So last but not least, Israel Adesanya from the UFC. Right.
That's what people know him as. They can't say his name.
Yeah, yeah. He made headlines at 253, not just for the win over Paul Costa back in September, but he had a wayward peck, which was grotesque. Adesanya was on Ariel Helwani's MMA show, and he explained what the hell was going on with what appeared to be a floppy right pec. Otherwise, he's pretty skinny. So he blamed it on what he called unhealthy living. And he said that he revealed that it meant basically Bart smoking weed. Some people thought he had a health issue and perhaps was taking steroids.
Stay off the weed.
UFC doctors
said it was...
Not anymore.
Not in New Jersey, baby. Yeah, you smoke all the weed you want.
UFC doctors said...
Give me a brownie.
Listen to this. They said it was just a fat deposit.
Too many
really? Munchies. I mean, how does a fat deposit in one pec, one over the other? So he said, since the fight, the pec has calmed down and it's not as sensitive. And yet, while doctors told him, stop smoking the Mary Jane, he said... I'm not stopping. I'm just going to slow down. Blitzer Prevent, he's 31. Why can't this just be the onset of man boobs?
It is. He got the King Koopa. Remember Mike Tyson punch out? You fight King Hippo? He got the little flapjacks on the end.
Have the flapjacks.
You know, that's what
that's funny.
In your career, what's the weirdest body abnormality you ever saw, like in the locker room or wherever? Like, you just, like, there was a dude and you were like, what the hell is that?
Bad body.
A body abnormality, like something like a guy who had, like, you know, he had six toes or something.
You mean like Chris Herndon having born with 12 fingers?
What?
You didn't know that? Chris Herndon?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, he got an extra finger that's on the side of his hand. He still can't catch.
It's like Booger McFarlane when he, like, puts his hand. Like,
and he can't catch. And it's like, bro, you got
extra fingers and you can't catch.
Yeah, so they cut it off when he was a baby. Like, yeah, he'll show you. Like, he had it. Yeah, okay. It's a lot of weird people in the league, man. Six toes, all that kind of stuff.
But did you not that that's is that the one that really stands out to you, that story? Like, there's nobody else.
Dude got 12
third
fingers,
nipple.
Man.
They ain't, nobody. You came across no one with a third nipple.
I really wasn't looking at her. Like, you know what I'm saying? I really wasn't saying, hey man, let me see your areolas. I really wasn't my thing, Alan.
Just Google it.
I don't know what you did in your locker room, but I was not trying to look at areolas.
I'm just curious, like, you know, things catch your eye. You're like, whoa, what was that? Like, what do you got going there? You got a tail?
I've seen guys that look like the Pillsbury Dough Man. They're like, man, they're like stacked up like pancakes. Like, man, how many rolls of fat do you have?
He keeps his game plan just stuffed up.
I told you what our nickname for Jason Brown was.
What?
Witch hips.
You better wrap it up.
I'd probably a good time to move on.
Yeah, Zaggy.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.